Welcome to Feeling Female AF,
the podcast where we'll discover and share new ways to navigate all the feelings that come with being female. So, in this episode, we mostly talk to Vicky.
We do indeed.
And we do that because Vicky took herself on a self-date, didn't you?
I did, yeah.
How long ago was that? Some time now. Way back in the days where it was allowed.
Yeah, in between lockdown one and lockdown two.
Okay. So basically, we want to get the message across through this that it is okay and absolutely fine to self-date.
Yeah. For me, it was learning. I don't need a guy to do some of the things that I want to do, which was quite important for me, I think, because there were so many things that I wasn't doing just because I was single. But then for me, it's that message needs to go to everybody.
Absolutely.
Everyone in a relationship, because you can take yourself out, you can treat yourself. You don't need to wait for your partner, do you?
Yeah, exactly. So. I can't wait to self-date when we're finally out of whatever lockdown we come out of.
I know.
It'd be exciting. But anyway, we hope you enjoyed the episode and take what you want from it. Obviously, feel free to comment and let us know what you think. And if you like it, then there's plenty more where that came from. Hello and welcome to this week's podcast.
Hello.
Hi. So we're going to be talking this week a little bit about self-care and what that means. And I'm going to focus the majority of the podcast onto you, Vicky.
Okay.
You are the pressure for me. Yeah. Only because I'm really aware that you've taken this self-care journey really seriously in the past, definitely 12 months, but you've also been on that kind of self-care journey for the past sort of 3 years, would you say?
I guess so, yeah. A lot of it probably from when I found myself single at like 30, 31.
Okay, so give us a bit of background on that then. So, single, and why did you choose self-care?
God, I would say single, 31, after being with someone for 15 years, which obviously meant that I met them when I was 16. It was learning how to be an adult and how to be on my own. Because I think you think you're an adult and you're doing everything, and then suddenly when you're on your own, it's like, who am I? Like, you realise there's quite a lot of things that you need to learn and things you've been through, and then having, you know, a few mental health issues along the way with depression and anxiety, and suddenly you realise you have to look after yourself.
Yeah.
And so then it becomes more prominent in your life, I guess, because...
Well, that's good that you've recognised that, because a lot of people wouldn't even recognise that side of things. They just carry on regardless.
Yeah. Well, off the back of, like, depression and anxiety, it became apparent that I had... Like, we've all got this inner voice, but my self-critic is very, very loud, to the point that sometimes I hadn't quite realised until I had a quiet morning in my head how noisy my own internal voice was. From the point of, why haven't you got up yet? Why aren't you exercising? Why haven't you done this? Ugh. God, why haven't you done that? But it would be like that all day.
What a bitch.
Yeah. And to the outside, you know, you wouldn't necessarily get that from me. What you would get is, she's snotty, she's a bitch, why is she quiet, why is she this? But that'd be because my face wouldn't know what it's doing, because there's that much noise happening inside. I don't have time to think about, like, necessarily what you're displaying to the outside world, because you would probably suspend it in fear half of the time. And when you look back, I think it's probably been since high school that all of that noise was happening.
Wow.
In my head.
That's a long time to deal with that.
But you hadn't put anything on it then. So it wasn't a problem then. It was just noise in your head, or, you know, the people saying, why aren't you joining in? And you were cutting your nose off to spite your face, which you were doing. But that's because the fear of being up in front of everybody or taking part in the roundest game with everybody just killed you so much that you didn't do it. But you didn't know it was anxiety. You didn't know what it was. So I think the impact somehow wasn't quite as detrimental. It's only when you get older and you can put that label on it, it suddenly almost becomes a problem.
Yeah.
Because then it's something you need to do something about.
Okay.
And I suppose it, you know, it gets worse over time, doesn't it?
It can do, yeah. I mean, we've definitely recognised that if you don't sit up and pay attention, then it can just deteriorate.
Yes.
And cause you major issues. But...
Oh, yeah. You know, the anxiety for me, I didn't even understand what anxiety was, really. It's only now, knowing what it is, that it... you realise that it's probably something that you've had all of your life, but it probably got to the point late last year, early this year, where it was becoming like a panic attack. Right. And that was going to work. It was like, oh God, I'm having a panic attack. And it only happened sort of the once, but you think if you weren't open enough to do something about it or to talk it through or to get help, that that could have been something that it, you know, just became even worse. If you pushed it down, by God, it's going to come back and bite you.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah.
So then obviously self-care suddenly becomes a lot more important, because if you don't look after yourself, one, you can't look after anybody else, but who is going to do it for you? You can't expect the world to pick you back up. You've got to be able to do it yourself.
So in that sense then, and the big emphasis being on the self,
yeah,
what made you realise that you needed to do it for you? When did you sort of recognise that you were doing it for you? I know they're kind of different questions.
Probably only this year, because I was somebody that had had counselling for a long time, but for certain things like to do with work, to help with confidence, so I used to get really red, so I'd gone to sort of try and figure out how to get rid of that.
Like embarrassment red.
Yeah. Where I'd get like the big rash across my chest if I was speaking in public and I was going for promotions, right, and stuff. So it was like, this is an inhibitor for me. Like I can't be the person stood up there if I'm getting a big rash. But obviously it wasn't necessarily the rash that was the problem. It was the panic beforehand that was the problem. But yeah, when I was looking at it as I choose to go and get counselling, I choose to go here, this is self-development, this is this, it was okay. When I found myself with depression and I had to get counselling, I wanted to run the hell away from that. Didn't want it. I had it because I chose to do it. I didn't have it because I needed it. And needing it is quite a whole other story. I went through the same hurdles that everybody else does, even though I've been the person advocating it to other people as well.
Yeah. It's a funny old thing, isn't it? Because when you're told you have to have something, you just, well, I know that I do this and I think you do the same. You self-criticise.
Yeah.
And when you're doing it out of a choice, you're being the best person that you can be by making sure you're looking after yourself.
Yeah.
And then when you've dropped the ball, it's like, oh, why have I done that right now? I don't want to. I'm not ready. And
I used to use the phrase that counselling for me was like a gym for your body, that you don't wait until you've got all these health problems or that you've put on loads of weight and then go to the gym. You go to the gym all of the time to maintain a healthy body and to be healthy along the way.
Right.
That was kind of how I looked at it.
Did you mean a gym for the mind? Sorry.
Yeah. Say. Sorry. I don't know what I've just said. it was the counselling was the gym for the mind. So therefore you do it to maintain your brain health.
Yeah.
You know, your legs stay fit by the fact that you move them. That was how I looked at it. But suddenly being in this state where, you know, you're on the floor, you had to have it. It was a different sort of thing. And I suppose being that low, when you then come back up again, if you ever start to have problems with your emotions, you then become frightened of what that means. Because once you've had depression, once you've had anxiety, you're terrified of getting it again. And I think that's what drives the self-care, and having to look after yourself. And what I realised was, I think I was trying to outsource my life quite a lot. So if I wanted to get fit, I'd have a PT. If I needed to sort my brain out, I'd get a counsellor. If I was struggling with what I should eat, well, I'll pay the PT to do the nutrition thing.
Yeah.
And you think you're trying to get all of these other people to do things for you. I wasn't using them to learn and then go away and do it myself. I was using them to do it for me.
Yeah.
But therefore, I thought that they were doing it for me. I didn't associate that whilst the PT was guiding me, it's me actually putting in the work.
Yeah.
It's me getting the results. It was like that because of them. I didn't put any of it on me. And I think that's where I differentiate, I suppose, between self-care and self-care with mindfulness, because it can only be self-care if you notice you are doing it for yourself. So had I done things to look after myself before? Yes. Did I do them regularly? Yes. Did I notice I was doing them to look after myself? No. Yeah. And that's the difference to me. Okay. I don't know if that makes sense, but...
Yeah, it does. So, like, I know we've spoken about this before, but you've talked to me about the first sort of self-date you took yourself on.
Yeah.
Would you mind sharing that with us? Because I think that is a beautiful, beautiful example of self-care, that.
So that was like a few months ago, maybe even only 2 months ago. I was doing the self-care things, and I did these 28 days of self-care, and I thought, what are the things that you only do or would do because you're waiting for a man to do them with, shall we say? You know, they wouldn't typically be things that you do by yourself. There's certain things that you go, oh, well, I'd really, when I've got a partner, I'll go do this. So I thought, what are the things that in my mind are that? So I thought, right, one day when you're off, I'm going to go and have a self-date, which is self-care. And so in the morning, I got up, I had a shower, I did my hair, I did my makeup, but I did my hair and makeup as if I was going on a date. Not just your standard going to work stuff, your extra little bit of stuff, your bit of eyeliner, your lipstick, the things that make you feel nice. I put new clothes on because I'd recently bought myself some new clothes, which felt nice. I put a dress on, I put heels on, and then I took myself into Liverpool. I went for a walk around the Albert Dock. And if you know me, when I'm by myself, it's all about efficiency and getting shit done. So if I was going to go out of by myself, then I would get up, go here, go and do the job, get that sorted, come back, done. It's like the job's ticked off. But this was a day for me. So I walked around the Albert Dock, actually enjoyed it. Then thought, right, I'm going to go and have some brunch. And I went to Brasco Lounge, I think it was. And as soon as I walked in and asked for a table for one, the guy immediately took me to a table that had like a wall separator, because at the time the country was we still are here at the moment, there was a pandemic on, so they had a lot of dividers between tables.
Yeah.
But this was a solid divider that not only divided me from the table near me, it divided me from the entire place, because it
segregated to the max.
Yeah. And I'm thinking, oh, is he put you there because, you know, he's thinking, oh, by myself I would want to be hidden away from everybody, and probably old me would have wanted that. But I was like, oh, please, can I sit somewhere where there's a view? Because I thought, like, I'm single, like if I'm out and I'm dating and I'm dressed there, to impress, then I want to see people. So I asked to get moved to somewhere where there was a window, so then I could watch the people going by, you could see the view, because obviously it's beautiful there as well.
Yeah.
And it was a nice day. I treated myself to pancakes with bacon and maple syrup, because
nice.
I don't know why, but when I'm by myself, I tend to order the healthy stuff, and when I'm with other people, you order the stuff that's like a treat.
Right.
So I was like, treat yourself. I sat and read my book for a bit, and then I went to the museum by myself as well, which I'd never done before. I hadn't been to that museum for starters, because it was the newer one in Liverpool. But I actually like sort of took the time to walk around slowly and read the plaques, and I suppose for me, get into the history of Liverpool, because it always reminds me of my nan, so it makes me feel quite warm and fuzzy.
Yeah,
that sort of that side of Liverpool. And obviously there's a lot of Liverpool history in that museum, so that felt quite nice. And then you get to the massive big windows that the museum's got, and you can just see the Three Sisters, is it?
Three Graces.
I always get confused with that. My brain always wants to say Three Sisters, the Three Graces. And it's such a big view. It's just so iconic, isn't it? It's like just lovely. So I took a picture of that, and I think I actually put it on Instagram as Liverpool, you beautiful bastard. And it just made me like, I suppose it's that Sex and the City thing, isn't it? Where she's like in love with New York, and dating New York is one of the episodes I watched recently. Yeah, yeah. It sort of made me feel a bit Carrie-esque, I guess, where you're like, do you know what? I do really love this city and I really appreciate it. So I took my time walking around the museum, and then again, the fact that I'd been out for brunch already and had done the museum, efficiency Vicky would be wanting to go home now because you've done things, but I sort of pushed forward and went back to the Albert Dock and went to I went to Rev's actually and sat outside and just had a pot of peppermint tea because I'd already eaten, so I wasn't actually hungry anymore. But I thought, it's lovely, I want to look at the view, I want to take in the sunshine, so I'm just going to sit here for a bit. And I did struggle with it, I've got to say. There was a bit of me that was like, what are we even doing here anymore? Like, but I sort of tried to push myself through it and got my book back out and read it. And
did you challenge yourself when those thoughts came in? Did you challenge them? Did you just push them down? Or did you accept that they were there and then sort of, I don't know.
I'd say sort of, I accepted they were there, but that I deserved to be able to sit still.
Yeah.
Because if there was somebody else there, I would have found it a lot easier just to let the time go by.
Yeah.
And weirdly, like, the sunshine came out just onto my table. The table behind didn't get it. And it just, something about being warm in the sun just makes you want to stay there even more. So yeah. I actually stayed and got to the point that it was then lunchtime. So I ordered a bit of extra food, had another pot of peppermint tea, took my time over it and just felt really nice. So I think, yeah, it was just nice to sort of spend a day with yourself. Yes, it was a bit of a challenge, but it felt like a really big deal to actually like get dressed up for yourself.
Yeah.
It felt really nice.
It's beautiful. I think it sounds like the perfect date.
Yeah.
Whether that is with a partner or by yourself.
Yeah.
It's just beautiful that you've taken that time out. The time for you to dress for yourself.
Yes.
The time for you to actually allow yourself and give yourself permission to take that time to have a wander around. I know you said you took pictures and
yeah.
was really looking, and like you said, you are an efficient person, and it's like we get in, we get the job done, we go home.
Yeah.
That's how your mind works, but you've stopped and you've looked at the world around you for a change.
Yeah. Yeah.
You've given yourself food that's comforting and is nice to you.
Yeah.
Like treated yourself.
Yeah.
And then taking in the information from the museum as well. Like giving yourself that time to just absorb something else that is going to be beneficial to you and still gives you that warm and fuzzy feeling, because like you say, it reminds me of your nan, and obviously she's been brought up in the Liverpool area all her life.
Yeah.
Gives you that connection again, and then to go further and take extra time out towards the end to really force yourself into the self-loving, self-care mode is just amazing. You've done really, really well with that. Cause
thanks.
It is. It's like, I am often, I don't necessarily look to be efficient, but I will always be looking for the next thing to do rather than enjoying the moment that I'm in.
Yeah.
And I don't always do that, but it does happen. And I think now I'm going to be more noticeable of those little things. Like now when I'm taking a nature walk, I'm looking to see how many colours I can see in the trees now that it's autumn. How many shades of orange or yellow can I see? Which trees have lost all the leaves, which trees have still got them. And it's just that sort of mindfulness at the same time, but you've been mindful about yourself.
Yes.
And it's just lovely.
I think it's that thing, isn't it, that like, why is it that you feel you need to wait for somebody else or have to do things with people? Don't get me wrong, it doesn't mean go off and do everything by yourself. Like, you shouldn't do everything by yourself. It's not a test.
No.
But it's, you don't have to wait to do it. You don't need to be with somebody to put your makeup on and put a dress on and all of that. Do it for yourself. And there is a lot to be said about sort of finding love from yourself and giving yourself love, because then you're sort of more open to love with somebody else anyway.
And I think it helps you on that journey of knowing who you are, what you like, what you don't like.
Yes.
You could have done that day in a completely different mindset and decided that you don't like sitting by yourself, and you could have let the waiter put you behind that solid wall where he wanted to keep you hidden.
Yeah.
And you might have had a completely different day. You might have struggled through that.
Yeah.
And think, I'm bored. I've got no one to interact with. The museum's here, but I'm not interested.
Yeah.
Like, that's a nice view, but what's next?
Oh. Yeah. And don't get me wrong, there are fleeting moments of them things. And I think that, you know, when you hear people talking about certain things like this, if it wasn't the same for you, you can almost beat yourself up. But did I sit there at times and think, God, I'm by myself, I wish I was with somebody? Yes, but I let it float in, note it, and then let that float back out again, and then look for something you can enjoy. So there was a swan by itself in one of the bits of water. And I was like, I took a picture of it and really zoomed in on it, and it just made me smile, because it's like,
and that beautiful creature enjoying its life. Just
Well, obviously I didn't do that, and that's giving me the ick.
Beautiful image.
And it doesn't always have to be things like that. So the 28 days that I did was actually from like another podcast called Love Project Love, which I've been looking at. And I suppose from feeling a bit lonely, it was something to sort of to help you realise how to look after yourself and stuff. So I did the full 28 days. And the biggest thing for me was noticing how many things that you do already for yourself, but that I'd never noticed I was doing for myself. Right. And like I say, for me, that has been the biggest thing.
Well, you've said this to me before. You said when we were speaking about this, your dates with yourself.
Yeah.
You realised that you've actually done it before, but you've not been mindful about the fact that that's what you were doing.
Yeah. So that was like, I was a few months single. I'd just got an apartment in Liverpool, and decided to treat myself to brunch. Apparently a self-date to me is all about brunch.
Always about
and it's
food.
All about waffles or pancakes. But I went into the city because I was living in Liverpool city centre. It happened to be Chinese New Year, so there was like the dragon going down with the other side of Liverpool, and that was quite exciting. So there was nice pictures, and it just, you sort of taking in the city, walking around, went for some brunch. Ended up down Lark Lane area, which is kind of like a Soho-y kind of area, I would say, if you could try and relate it to anywhere. And there was a vintage shop there, and I went and bought myself a thumb ring, which I'm wearing today. It was my Women of Independence thumb ring. It was something to signify, so I was treating myself. And I did sort of look at it as a self-date. But yeah, it doesn't somehow feel as quite as monumental as the one did recently.
No, it was the first step into it though, wasn't it?
Yeah, but it was like I did that 5 years ago and then didn't necessarily carry on with it or look at doing it further. So more recently, even things like having a bath, I realised, in previous relationship, it was like, God, I wish you'd do this and I wish you'd do that, but why didn't you do these things for yourself sometimes? So living in this house, I've been here like 4 years now, and I'd only had a bath with candles once. I thought, why? Why have you done that? So yeah. I think I must have had 3 or 4 during those 28 days where you just put the candles out and music on and just sort of enjoyed a bath. And it doesn't mean that I'd not had bubble baths. I had music on. But I'd never really gone, this is a nice time for you, it's a relaxing time, look at you. I've done sat there and done face masks, but I've never gone like, this is time for you.
Yeah.
And actually realised that that's healthy.
Yeah, it's
and that you're giving yourself something.
Yeah. You have to recognise what you're doing for yourself in order to appreciate it, don't you?
Yes.
You can eat the good food, but if you don't be grateful and thankful for the nutrition that you're giving to yourself, you won't recognize it.
Exactly. And I think that was the biggest lesson for me, was the self-date, the not waiting for other people, doesn't need to be massive things. It can be, like, if you want to go on holiday, but you will not do that unless you're with somebody else. Why is that? Is that something that you can look into a bit more? Do you have enough funds to go? Okay, if you do, why don't you consider it? Why don't you look at a way that you can do it that makes it a bit more comfortable for you? What's the reason that you won't do it? But it doesn't have to be that. It can be literally buying yourself a bunch of flowers. But again, I was buying flowers for the house.
Yeah.
Two bunches a week, every week, for 2 years.
Wow.
But I never really went, I'm buying these for me. So it didn't feel as good. It was, they make the house look good at the end.
Wow.
And the difference now, when I get them, it just feels, it feels more nourishing for yourself.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. Self-care is nourishing.
Yeah.
It's that warm porridge on a cold winter's day, isn't it?
It's the belief that you deserve it.
Yeah.
And that actually, if you're half empty, looking for somebody else to give you these things, when you do get into a relationship, there's every chance that if something doesn't go right, that's going to all be on them. Whereas if you learn how to look after yourself, how to fill your own cup up,
yeah,
they're just an added benefit. They're a lovely extra to have in your life. So I think that was sort of the reason for me, because the struggle with being single, the loneliness and stuff, I think it's something that I really need to experience, because I was in this habit of outsourcing your life and thinking that things need to come from other places, but yeah, they need to come from within. They need to come from you, and then you can have the added extras of having somebody else in your life.
It's even like where you say, why isn't my partner doing X, Y, or Z for me?
Mm.
If you were doing those things for yourself anyway, one, you don't need to rely on them, but also they don't have to be a mind reader, because they'll witness you treating yourself, and then potentially they might turn around and go, I'm going to do that for her. Or you can say, my favourite thing is, you know, we'll use the bath example.
Yeah.
Is to have a bath with candles and this type of scent in it. And they could surprise you.
Yeah.
Whereas if they don't know and have not even witnessed you doing it,
yeah,
how would they
exactly
decide to do that?
Exactly. So many lessons learned along the way. And it, you know, I did the 28 days and then I forgot again. Then you stop noticing again. So it is something that you continuously have to work on. It isn't a magic pill to take that, oh, I did 28 days of self-care and now I take care of myself every single day. It's a work in progress. It's something that you have to pay attention to.
Yeah. It's not a tick box exercise. It's a continuous exercise.
Exactly, exactly. And, you know, I have to be honest, it was a lot. 28 days every day to try and think. But I think that's because usually you look for the shiny items, don't you? You look for the big things.
Big wins, yeah.
Whereas when you have to do it that many days consistently, you start looking at other stuff, like having a nature walk, like doing a phone call with a friend, baking a cake, cuddling the dog, taking the time to watch your favourite programme. You start noticing where you are doing those little things every day. They don't have to be your big ticket items.
Yeah.
They can be your big ticket items, but they don't have to be.
Well, like you say, like, the easiest thing to do is to make yourself feel nice.
Mm-hmm.
In the sense that you can have clean clothes, you can have a warm space, it's the textures, it's the smells, it's the sights, you can dim the lights,
yeah,
you can make it bright if you want to make it bright, if you can read a book, you can take that time out. But it doesn't all have to be slowing down and stopping either. It could be as simple as, you are going to go on that bike ride because that's going to make you feel better.
Exactly.
You are going to tidy up the leaves in the garden because that's a tick box exercise that will make you go, I'm so glad I've done that now and I don't have to worry about it.
Oh, the times when you do, maybe it's the old 30 plus thing, but when you look out at your garden and you see the grass needs cutting or there are the leaves there, and you get the job done and you look out, you actually feel like some sort of joy, don't you?
It's,
and
then
it's sad, but if that's what you need at that time, that is self-care.
Yeah.
And if you're going to walk past those leaves or the grass needing cutting and go, you need to do this, you need to do that, you need to do the other all the time, then get it done and then feel nice every time you look outside. That in itself is self-care.
Yeah. I have a little method like that where I have to have all the lights on in the living room, like I say, cozy lights, the fairy lights and my candles, my salt crystal lamp, make it ambient and warm. And then I have to tidy everything up and keep everything straight so that the couch cushions and the rug and everything needs to be perfect. But it's not perfectly lined and it's not necessarily strict and mud looking. It's cozy and inviting.
Yeah.
It makes me want to nestle down and feel happy in that space.
Yeah.
But if it's not done like that, then I sit there hating the room, hate the whole room.
Yeah.
But a quick blitz and I'll feel so much better for it. But yeah, like, the leaves on the lawn is a big thing. I know my garden has been neglected now for months because we've not had the nice weather. Yeah. And I don't want to go out there, I'll be honest. Yeah. But I know the second I've done it, I will feel immense satisfaction from it. And that in itself is self-care. It's just keeping to a routine and keeping things ticking over, as well as recognising them and being grateful for having them.
Yeah. And it can even be, like, things that you've never done before. I come back to the things that you would only do with other people or you know, a big ticket items. The one that we did recently, life drawing class.
Right.
You suggested it. I can't draw. I mean, everybody can draw because everybody can. Everybody can, exactly. But in your mind, I can't draw. Because I'm no good at it. I want to be good at everything, but I've been told over time that actually you should do things that you're not good at because it sort of teaches you.
Yeah.
You don't need to be good at everything, but I absolutely loved it.
Yeah.
Because it was almost like an hour of meditation because you know, they did 6 or 7 different rounds of draw this person with this type of pencil on this type of paper, or use a crayon or use a felt tip. And it was all broken down into 5 to 7 minute gaps, which made the time go quickly. But you had to concentrate on the person's body. And it just felt so lovely. Yeah. And I think, you know, some of the things you surprise yourself because what you could see on the page was actually a person. So whether you would deem it to be great art or not, you could tell what it was you were trying to draw, but it was just so therapeutic. And again, it was something new. It's something that you've ticked off, but it is actually something that I booked to do again because I enjoyed myself. And yet it's something that I would have typically gone, no, because I'm no good at it. And that's caused me a lot of trouble over the years, I think, is doing things that you aren't good at. Pole fitness was a big thing. Like, it's really hard work. It takes a lot of strength. And there was a lot of failures. But during that process, I learned that I didn't trust myself. Because what you have to do in pole is go upside down quite a lot of the time. And I would get the fear upside down because I didn't think I could hold myself. And one of the girls in one of the classes said to me, just trust yourself. And I burst out crying in the middle of the class. And I realised I don't trust myself. And I think that probably was quite a monumental moment to go, why don't you? And that probably brought in a bit of self-care and self-love because actually, why don't I trust myself? I should trust myself because I didn't have my own back because I was so mean to myself.
So on the back of that, you can see you've started to really trust yourself.
Yeah.
You can really tell. And by doing this self-care as well, you're trusting yourself to be okay with being on your own.
Yeah.
And it's not that you want to stay on your own forever, and we recognise that.
But yeah,
you have that trust to take yourself off and to be you.
Yeah.
And you have been doing it over the past couple of years. You've been on, what was the first holiday you went abroad on your own or not as a couple?
India.
That was a big step.
Yeah, it was, I don't know if it was January 2017 or 2018, but it was, I think I'd only been single for about a year. And I remember when I was nearly single, someone saying, one of our friends saying, I need to go on holiday by myself. And I was like, no.
Yeah.
Absolutely not. Never doing that. And then I slowly sort of came round to the idea of always like travelling, always wished that I'd done a bit more. And I do yoga as well. So it's kind of looking at, I didn't really like the idea of just going to a hotel and being on holiday, like a normal family holiday, but you're on your own. I didn't like the idea of that. But I looked at a yoga holiday. So it's different to a yoga retreat because it's not a fixed schedule of what you need to do, and it's not quite as intense as a retreat. A yoga holiday is, what was it called, bamboo yoga in Goa in India, and you have your own hut, which was incredible, 4-poster bed, but you're in a hut, and the toilet has no ceiling. It's got a perfectly good toilet and sink and shower, but you've got no roof, so it's just the stars. It was just beautiful, and it's sand on your feet as soon as you come out of that. It was just a lovely, lovely experience. And the yoga, you could choose to do it every morning and every evening if you wanted to. but you could go in and out of the classes as you sort of fit.
So how long did you stay there for?
I think it was eight days.
Okay, so just over nights. A week on yeah. your own. How yeah. was that first experience being on?
Amazing. Absolutely loved it. It was one flight there, one flight back. So I was lucky with that. That was the scary part because you go outside the airport, which seems scary. There's a person holding your name. And then you sort of cross this massive big dual carriageway, then jump down about 3 foot, and then his car's like in the darkest part in the world. Yeah. And then you just get in with this guy by yourself, and then you drive for an hour through the darkest, like you go through jungle and then come back out of it. It just was, you know, and you think, right, this is it then. No one's going to know where I am if anything happens to me. And because the way that you book it isn't through like a traditional tour operator and you book your flight yourself, all of that feels a little bit scary. But it was amazing. I found a wonderful yoga teacher called Jen, who's the traveling yogi, if you're on the internet looking at her. I've been to one of her retreats since. But just amazing yoga. They had a communal table in the middle of the place. So if you want to speak to people, you go and sit at that table.
If you didn't? Did you have separate tables?
Yeah, there was other tables as well, yeah. So you could choose to go and sit quietly or you could go onto that one. I think there was up to like 60 people there. Various people. Some on yoga holidays, some doing yoga teacher training. All vegetarian food. So that was lovely because you just feel really nourished.
Yeah.
We did trips out. You could go for dinner by yourself nearly every night, and the walk for dinner was just down the beach. All the restaurants are on the beach. It was just amazing. And meditation was 30 minutes in the morning, sat in a shala, which is basically like a concrete block you essentially practice yoga on. Mm. Just a square block with posts in the ceiling. All the sides are empty. But the sea and the beach were right in front of you. So it was sunrise and sunset yoga. And it just felt incredible.
So when you came back from that, what self-care did you carry on with?
Probably.
If any.
Again, I probably continued with yoga classes. But that was maybe about it.
So not mindfully continuing.
And
then after that, I know you went on another holiday after that.
Yeah.
And where was that one?
Austria I went to. That was a relaxingly active holiday. So it was a winter holiday. It was yoga. So I found it again through yoga because that felt sort of comfortable to me. It was something that I'd experienced. Yeah. But you could also learn to ski if you wanted to. You did snowshoe walking, you did cross-country skiing, and then I learned how to ski for a couple of days in the middle. And there was yoga every morning, vegetarian food again, and it was absolutely exhausting, but again, beautiful. One of the most beautiful places I think I've ever been to.
Did you feel more confident going away the second time on your own than the first time? Or was it about the same because it was different sort of area? And
I think I changed a bit as a person by then, so I felt more comfortable with it. Still an element of nerves, and it was a smaller group of people, which has its ups and downs because you know there's nobody outside of that building. You know, it was the set 5-6 people, and then the 5 or 6 people that worked there that, you know, do the tours and the owners and stuff. But yeah, it was just amazing. And I think I would have had to have done the other one to be brave enough to try the things that I did. And something about doing things by myself I'm better at. So the doing skiing when you've never done it before, the cross-country skiing, me and this girl, I cannot count the amount of times we fell over in the first 10, 15 seconds because the skis are just, for cross-country skiing, they're so little, but they're so long. And the tracks are really icy. But that would have been a real struggle for old me. I would have struggled with the continued failure of it.
Yeah.
Of the falling over. But it was just hilarious. It was, and I don't know, I think you can just kind of be a bit more yourself on your own to get used to that person and slowly start building up.
That's lovely.
This trust in yourself, I guess. But it was a long old journey.
Have you done any others since then?
I did, a group tour to Vietnam and Cambodia, which was probably something more like I'd wanted to do, but it just took me that amount of time to get there. So that was 3 weeks, and that was intense and tiring, but again, amazing. Like, meeting different people, sharing your room with somebody. So I'd always paid for the private room. For this, you had to share. But it was great because I met a great friend. And we did, like, quad biking and stuff that you'd never really done before.
Like you say, it's that stuff that you had been more inclined to wait for a partner to come along and do with you.
Yeah.
And then you'd really taken that turn and gone, nah, I'm doing it myself.
Yes. Yeah.
I don't need to wait for no one.
Yeah.
I can still live.
Yeah. But again, I didn't quite realise that's what I was doing. It's nice to reflect back on now to realise that is what you were doing, but I didn't notice it. And I do think noticing it is part and parcel
of
it.
So when's your next holiday?
Well, I don't know now. That's the thing, isn't it? I don't know. I did a proper yoga retreat after that, which was a lot of inner work, you know, journaling and meditation and silence until 11 o'clock and a lot of tough yoga. And those weeks can feel like particularly painful sometimes because inner work is really hard.
Yeah, of course. You know, nobody wants to dissect themselves, do they?
No. However, I remember coming back and stepping into work and being like, oh, these poor people look so stressed. Like, are they okay? Because I was just in this just blissful place. So although the week itself had almost been torture filming because I'm quite in my head anyway, but then trying to work on yourself is hard work. But coming back felt beautiful. So won't mind another yoga holiday, to be honest, because I really do want to work on the yoga.
Yeah, I think I'd like to come on the next one.
Oh, yeah. Definitely
needing that. All right. So I'd like to finish off by saying, first off, thank you.
It's quite
for sharing everything and giving us an insight into how you work the self-care journey.
Yeah.
But also, is there any tips that you'd give anyone for going forward to starting self-care without really having to follow any particular path?
Mm.
What steps would you say is the most important?
I think there's a few different things. So write down a list of things that you do for yourself already that you haven't actually noticed.
That's a good one.
Because that's been the biggest thing for me. It is the noticing. And it isn't something that I'd heard before either. Yeah. It was more starting doing things. But I think you have to notice what you're doing. It's such a big thing. So I'd probably write down a list of things that you do for yourself already and start to notice them. Write down a list of things that you, in your mind, can only do with other people or that you wish you would be treated to, but what's stopping you treating yourself to it.
Yeah.
And then just start to work on them. Whether that's that you go, right, for a week I'm going to look after myself, it's a month I'm going to look after myself, or I'm going to make sure that I do 3 a week, but start ticking them off and start speaking about them and start posting about them, because you don't know what effect you're having on other people. So as close as we are, we met up after a week or two of me doing mine and you said, oh, I've been looking for your self-care things.
Yeah.
And you
looking
don't
for ideas.
Yeah. You don't realize the impact you're having on other people. So I think that can be something interesting too. But I really do think it is what's stopping you doing some of these things for yourself, and what have you been doing already that you should just actually pat yourself on the back for and take time to notice that you're doing it for you. It's not just a chore. It's not a job. It's not something that you just do as standard. Having a face mask, for example, it's not a chore.
No.
It's not a tick list. It's look at me taking time for myself to look after my skin. Aren't I nice to myself? God, I feel special.
Yeah, yeah.
And just reframing it like that. I think that would probably be my top tips for self-care.
No, it's lovely. Thank you very much for sharing all of that.
And you're very welcome.
Thank you guys for listening. Thank you for listening. Please remember to like, rate and subscribe.
If you'd like to follow us on social media, we are Feeling Female AF on Instagram, Facebook and Twitter.
You can also join the conversation in our Facebook group by searching the Feeling Female AF Lounge.
And finally, to stay up to date with all things Feeling Female, go to feelingfemaleaf.com and sign up to our mailing list.